What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lin. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Markets across Asia are trending lower today. The biggest losses are in Shenzhen and Hong Kong. The drop in Shenzhen comes on the back of an announcement from the People's Bank of China, which says it's removing a rule that limits the amount of funds that foreign institutional investors can take out of China every month. That's led to some fears that overseas players may sell more. Here in Singapore, the Straits Times Index is down more than 1%, trading about 38 points lower at 3,392. Overall, markets are assessing new economic data out of the United States, data that shows that consumer prices there are rising at their highest rate in 6 years. The Consumer Price Index jumped 2.8% in the 12 months through May. However, if you look at the month-on-month numbers, the CPI rose just 0.2%. The U.S. Federal Reserve will be closely examining all this data as it debates U.S. monetary policy. The results of the Fed's latest meeting will be out overnight. For more on how the markets are assessing the inflation data and Fed policy, I spoke earlier with Stephen Innes, the head of trading at Oanda.
Yeah, the markets are clearly focused on the Federal Reserve Board meeting later tonight, and basically whether the Feds are going to accelerate the pace of interest rate hikes throughout 2018. That seems to be the overriding narrative in this afternoon's Asia market.
Well, we basically know what the Fed's going to do. 90% of economists are saying that the Fed is going to raise interest rates tonight by 25 basis points. So since that's probably already factored in, what are investors really looking for?
Well, it's all about forward guidance. As we know, the Feds have what they refer to as a dot plot, which is more or less just a theory of where they anticipate the trajectory of interest rates to go. Currently, they're leaning towards three dot plots, but however, it's a very, very close call. But the market is starting to view that perhaps because of the robust U.S. economic data that we've had over the past 2 months, that perhaps the Feds might want to get in front of potential inflation and actually start to raise interest rates from a three rate hike scenario in 2018 to a four rate hike scenario in 2018, which would be called a move to the four dot plot theory.
Well, let's talk about inflation at the moment. U.S. CPI just came out last night. We saw a small uptick for the month of May. But for the past 12 months, consumer prices in the States are up 2.8%, and that's the biggest increase in more than 6 years. So how do you think the Fed is going to factor this in?
Well, I think what the Fed looks at is core inflation. If we just go by the headline, I think the assumption is a great deal of that inflation is actually packed in because of volatility around energy prices. So they tend to back that out. But the core inflation is still coming on target, and it continues to move higher. And this is why we think when you start to factor in this fiscal stimulus that's going on in the U.S. along with tax cuts, perhaps this could be an inflationary input. So this is why we think that the Feds might want to move quicker on the interest rate hike cycle.
Okay, there you have it. We're looking at perhaps another interest rate hike, more than was expected perhaps, in the rest of the year ahead, due to inflation data and the economy. Shares in Europe are trending higher, as are U.S. future contracts. Over in Europe, the FTSE is trading up 0.33% at 7,730. The CAC 40 up 0.25%, and the DAX also looking higher. Over in the U.S. right now, if we're looking at the futures markets, the S&P 500 futures, NASDAQ, and Dow all trending upwards. Biggest gains for the NASDAQ, currently up about 0.25%. Monetary policy is in the spotlight on both continents. The U.S. Federal Reserve meets this evening and is expected to announce a 0.25% rise in interest rates. On the other side of the Atlantic, the European Central Bank meets in Latvia tomorrow, and it's talking about winding down easy money policy. There's a lot more uncertainty about what the ECB will do, though. So to better understand what's happening in Europe, I turn to Stephen Innes, the head of trading at Oanda.
Well, you see, last week, Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, rolled out his lieutenants to provide a good PR job to suggest that they were going to actually be discussing perhaps pulling back on quantitative easing, which is their buy bond program that's provided a lot of liquidity to the markets in Europe. Now, given that this has been factored in and the proverbial cat is out of the bag, and when you couple this with the weak economic data coming out of Europe, it's unlikely that we're going to get a hawkish surprise from the ECB at this week's meeting. So that would suggest that the euro would be prone to this less hawkish narrative. And that's what the market is shifting right now, where we're seeing the euro weaken slightly ahead of this ECB announcement.
So basically, you're looking, or a lot of analysts are looking now, for an end to the easy money policy in Europe. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. But that in no way implies that the ECB are ready to move on the interest rate curve. So in other words, while they're matching the Fed's propensity to pull back on QE, they're not really moving on the interest rate curve. And that's why the euro will still stay trading on the defensive. So it's going to take a shift in absolute monetary policy to provide that tailwind for the euro.
So where is the euro right now, and where do you see it going? How low could it go?
Well, the euro has been very well anchored here at 117.50, and as you saw, after we came out of this Italian tumult, we traded pretty close to the 115 level. I think the value here is not too far from its current level. I think on a more dovish take from the ECB, we could probably test the 117 level, but I'm not looking for a huge extension. That's really predicated on the fact that the market is in a very neutral position right now. It's not heavy long, it's not heavy short euro, so I'm not expecting a massive knee-jerk reaction in any way, shape, or form, but I think we'll see a gradual test towards the 117 level on that dovish outcome from the ECB.
And if we segue from currencies to stocks, what does the end of the easy money policy mean for European equities?
Well, this is the issue here, because you would assume this would be negative because it should effectively put bond yields higher. However, you know, we have to keep in mind that we're at historically low interest rate levels, and another 25 basis points on from historical low interest rates is not really affecting equity markets right now, simply because equity markets are still getting higher returns than what bond markets are getting. So I think until we get a more balanced return from equity markets, in other words, equity markets, the froth starts to settle down, I think it continues to remain attractive. One, because we have this positive growth narrative, global positive growth narrative, and also corporate earnings continue to surge. And these are all things that the equity investors really like.
So it's still a good time to buy European stocks.
European stocks are one of the highlights because they're considerably undervalued given all the political risks that they've gone through over the last 6 to 12 months.
All right. Thank you very much. You've been speaking with Stephen Innes, head of trading at Oanda.